In the spiritual life, one of the greatest challenges is the problem of deception, especially since we who are Catholics believe in the one true faith. We can often think that just by being Catholic, that we're doing things correctly. And when someone tries to warn us, we often aren't open to listening to them. This young woman mystic in the book, The Secrets of Purgatory, is warned by the souls in purgatory on the difference between true and false piety. And her advice to us is crucial for us in making the proper choice. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Now let's get right into it. I do want to tell you there have been other videos on this series. Check them out by going to my channel directly. In this holy place where I see the souls so clearly, I've also learned what genuine and feigned piety are. Every lesson which I need for living on earth, I have received there, else I should indeed be an ignorant child. I saw many souls, even those of religious, which were very pious on earth, but according to their own conception of piety. My eyes are now opened that I might protect myself from illusion. Individual, egoistic piety will be as devout as the soul wants, but not as God wills. This piety is complicated, intricate, and seemingly of great importance. There are souls who make great fuss about themselves. They live in this thought, I offer sacrifices. I strive for sanctity. I work to become holy. On the other hand, piety that is humble thinks, oh Jesus, you must do it. Have patience with me, for I cannot. Such souls as these live and grow in Jesus. The other souls on their egotistic feelings and sentiments. These latter think they could become holy by themselves, while humble souls in their good will rely upon Jesus and pray again and again for grace and mercy. Unfortunately, there are more hypocritical, pharisaical souls in purgatory than I would have surmised. If I had not seen this in purgatory, I would believe that the whole world and everything which appears good in it were good. And because my heart too eagerly considers everything good, the good God must instruct his child in purgatory. He knows how terribly hard it is for me to believe that there are such hypocritical souls. Throughout my life, I have thought only good of others, and it is very difficult for me to understand that not everything is actually good. Unfortunately, truth often distinguishes itself in falsehood. Unfortunately, truth often disguises itself in falsehood. There are souls in purgatory, even religious, who have suffered very much because of their sham and feigned piety. I must therefore often feel their excruciating pain in order to make atonement for them, for their piety was narrow-minded, and they possessed a hard, unjust heart toward others. They have condemned others for their smallness when they thought themselves somewhat more broad-minded. True piety pardons another's failings and looks upon other men to benefit from their good example. For even a sinful man has something good about him which we can learn. Genuine piety, therefore, is authentic only when it is accompanied by holy understanding. This is a characteristic mark that the soul is one with Jesus. Even if the soul does not have exceptional works to its credit over a long period of time, it may be attuned to holy understanding, which prevents it from being unduly harsh and severe. Holy understanding rectifies everything. It is a tremendous gift, for it is a transmission of divine understanding. The good God directs the children of men by this holy understanding when he imparts to them a knowledge of what he would do. In an admirable manner, God works hand in hand with the soul that presents no hindrance for him, with a soul that only wants what is right and just. Men who have real, genuine piety are always discreet and understanding because they are intimately united with the Holy Spirit and therefore harm no one. In all things, they wish to be mild and helpful everywhere, and often they desire to become God's delegates to understand other people. How often he helps us through this holy understanding, for it is also the guiding hand of the Holy Spirit. Through it, the will of God is revealed to us. He has ordained holy understanding to be a guide to mankind. This is why there is correct judgment. The discreet are never harsh or bitter. They can understand everyone, even sinners. They can do good everywhere and be good at the same time. We often consider the intellect as something entirely worldly, yet it is a perfect instrument of God that gives certitude to man as to what is good and what is not. It makes men so humble, simple, loving, and kind. For true piety consists not only in prayer, but above all, in justice and truth. Understanding neither expects nor desires extraordinary signs, and follows whatever it perceives through prayer to be the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. How often do we experience that in the same way the Word of God comes to our soul and that His assistance is ours? While one soul is extremely grateful for such guidance of God, other souls are satisfied only with extraordinary communications. Oh, how many virtues lie in this one virtue, holy understanding. I would never have thought that this was such a beautiful gift of God if He had not shown it to me. Holy understanding is like a spiritual eye. It is another of God's works of art, as are our bodily eyes. Thus it is with souls who form their own holiness. Then only is our soul a genuine flower of God when it grows out of the soil of poverty, when it thrives in humble resignation to the divine will, and prospers in the sunshine of merciful love. In this way, we are simple little children. What does a great self-made sanctity amount to if it is not God's work, and if it springs only from roots of pride? What does it profit for eternity? So just a few comments here. First of all, she continues the theme that we in our poverty should see ourselves as nothing and rely completely on Jesus. And then that we ask for this gift of understanding, which is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You hear in what she says echoes from other saints. Luisa Picaretta, Saint Therese of Lisieux. At the beginning of the book, she calls purgatory a school. So obviously, this is a school that teaches many things, and the things that it teaches, we're going to hear it also echoed in the church. And so what these saints and mystics are teaching us, Luisa Picaretta, Saint Therese, the souls in purgatory are practicing perfectly, or they are being purified so as to practice it more perfectly. So we can go to them and ask for their prayers and go to the school of purgatory to learn these different schools of spirituality that are out there. You heard her talk about the divine will. You heard her talk about merciful love, two big themes with those two women. For those of you that have reached this portion of the video, I do want to say this. In a previous video some time ago, I had talked about a pilgrimage to Fatima. I was trying to work that out with one company. It was too expensive. There wasn't enough interest. I will be going to Fatima with a group from Ireland March 8th to the 16th. It is working out. Here is the information down below. Look below in the description to the link. It is significantly cheaper. I believe it is $800 from Dublin to Fatima. So that pays for everything on the Dublin-Fatima side. All you have to do is fly to Dublin. And the trip will be 5 full days in Fatima. There's about 30 of us going. We'd like to get 40 or 50 people. So please look down below in the description if you want more information. I will see you in the next one.